Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Myself and Annie were joined by Randy Caddick, Rob Lewis, the sole member of the Tartan Army who's over in Sri Lanka watching the game from the fort in Gaul. He had some good news from the England camp and he'll be telling us about that. Also, we spoke to Ali Ross. We think they should be casting their net a bit wider when it comes to recruitment, the Scottish national team. And Ali discussed some of that with us. We had a bit of a chat about various things, reflected on the weekend's football. And we brought you a special Don't Ask Me head-to-head, Max Rushton versus Andy Jacobs. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And not much to say about the big match yesterday. I thought the most exciting thing was when the ball went flat. Very exciting for relatives of the late, great Charlton keeper Sam Bartram when the ball did the same thing in the 1946 Cup final. It was one of those games where you start thinking about that. It was just nothing in the game, was it? It was sort of like huff and puff. The final ball from both teams was poor.
I think Dave Kidd in The Sun was making the point today. We have reached the stage where we build these matches up and invariably they disappoint because there is so much. For the same reasons we build them up, because there's so much at stake, we get the performances that you'd expect. Because there is so much at stake, you get, very cautious performances generally.
But I think a lot of the football is a bit ho-hum at the moment. I mean, all right, you had a nice win yesterday and a lovely goal by Ndombele. But apart from the Wolves game, which was a terrific game, most of the games were kind of so-so. Leicester-Southampton wasn't a bad game.
Yeah.
But
I think players are getting a bit leggy. I think it's understandable.
I also think I'm being coloured by the fact that Chelsea performances. I mean, that was a win, but what I describe as a poor win. I said to myself, what a poor win that was, really. I mean,
you'd take a poor win rather than a good draw, though, wouldn't you? I mean,
oh no, you would take a poor win over everything, but the fact is he had 2 weeks to prepare the team for that, apart from the Morecambe game, and they just look so, none of the players are playing well. Pulisic, what on earth's happened to him? And I think one of the worst things is that Chelsea's best player in this terrible period has been Hudson-Odoi. As soon as he came on, he set up the goal. As soon as he came on, he looked lively. So he should be starting. And I think there's a problem. I think the dressing room look at a manager. When a manager doesn't pick the people who should be starting, I think that's a problem for him. And I don't think it's right.
What have you made of Tomori out of interest?
I don't get that either. I don't understand it.
It does seem very strange that he was getting games and Frank took him at Derby and
he was doing well. Then he got picked by, I'd have tried him at right back. I mean, the idea that Azpilicueta was so lucky that Robinson did that to him because otherwise they probably Fulham would have won. I mean, he's just running past. You might as well have Gemma Collins playing at right back. I mean, he's been great, Azpilicueta.
But I looked at him
even before last season, the end of the season before, thinking he's gone. You can see his legs have gone, and so many players have just run past him. And he's a clever defender, so he sort of can cover it to a point. But if he's got somebody doing that like Robinson was, it's dangerous.
Robinson wouldn't come out of that challenge with the GC in quite the same shape, I don't think, would he?
Exactly. And Werner, I mean, it's just, even Tony Cascarino in the Times today saying, there's just been a whole history of, he thinks he'll get sold in the summer. Torres, Shevchenko, Mutu, Kazaragi. There's been a lot of strikers bought at Chelsea that just haven't worked. And I thought the miss was one thing. The worst thing was this touch from Hudson-Odoi, put a lovely ball into him. Wow. And talk about a poor touch. I mean, you just look at it and think that is not good enough.
Well, look,
really.
You won, Andy. I'd love to know how you felt if you'd lost, but
You know that feeling when your team wins and they're not very good. You worry about
what it means as well. You know,
I did like this story though from Turkey about. I'm sure Andy Brassel will talk about this. The team that wore all white in the snowstorm. You've probably seen the footage. It's absolutely incredible story, and we would have been enough to know about that story without the usual Twitter reference. No newspaper writer now can write about anything without referring to Twitter, what somebody on Twitter thought about it.
Yeah.
So in this case, it was Merv Karmaz tweeted, "Oh, Casper mode on," and posted a picture of the friendly cartoon ghost. Who cares what Merv Karmaz thinks? Let's ask the listeners,
do you care about Merv Karmaz and what he says? Maybe Merv's out there, wants to stand his corner, thinks he's got something to say. Merv, get in touch.
I just think we've gone mad. Do you know what I mean? Nothing. You can't write about that. It was a good story anyway. It didn't need Merv Karmaz's Casper the Friendly Ghost comment.
I feel a bit sorry for Merv Karmaz. He's been picked at random from people who commented on it. Merv Karmaz didn't want this level of fame. Merv Karmaz didn't want to be ridiculed on national sports radio, did he? Merv Karmaz didn't ask for any of this.
He did.
It's quite a fulfilling name to say, though, Merv Karmaz.
It is. Yeah. He shouldn't have even tweeted about it, really. That would have been the best bet.
I'm sticking up. Hashtag.
I don't know what he thought about the ball going flat.
Well, I think he went down the Sam Bartram. Everything we talk about this afternoon, I'm hoping Merv Karmaz will comment on, and we'll see what Merv Karmaz made of it. Anyway, I've got a couple of things for the listeners to get going on. And one of them involves an Orient strike on the score sheet at the weekend, and it was our old mate Lee Angle. And so we're looking for some. I mean Lee's obviously doing rather well. He's scoring goals for Leighton Orient. He's a professional footballer, that's fine, but he may fancy some work in TV. So I thought maybe we could come up with some TV formats for Lee Angle, and I'll kick you off with a Q Angle, which is a kind of, it's a sort of Love Island style show. It's a sort of dating show, you know, all like The Bachelor. We hands out a rose at the end of each episode.
That'd be good,
that's quite nice. I've got Angle Poise Lamps, which is where Lee spends some time with a Chelsea manager and learn how to carry himself like Frank Lampard. That's quite nice. Angle Grinder, I'm leaving.
Okay.
I'm leaving that at the moment. I've got no format for that.
I'd also leave Angle with the Dangle as
Angle of the Dangle. Yeah, that's very true. Okay, well, just some of the things that'll kick you off. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ if you want some TV formats. And also, poor timekeeping tells me. I'm going to have a chat with Mark Housley. Paul Tierney, I mean, he had a good game because he didn't have anything to do because there was nothing really going on. So we wouldn't mind some poor timekeeping tales, whether that's in sport or otherwise. If referees have blown up with about 15 minutes left, have had a complete aberration.
It would be ridiculous.
I mean, it would be, but it must have happened. Danny
Kelly floated this ages ago. He's right about timekeeping. He thinks it's the next thing that will be taken out of the referee's hands.
They don't get it wrong very often, though, do they? I mean, it's not. I mean, of all the things they need to sort out, IFAB, you know, we need a hooter probably less than we need anything else. How often is this an issue? But I mean, I know it's often an issue where you feel like you've not had quite enough injury time in a match. But no, I take Danny's point.
I think VAR's complicated it.
Yeah.
Should just say hello to Rebecca Lowe, who's listening in America.
Oh, is she?
She's preparing for the Arsenal Newcastle game.
Yeah.
She's very, very happy to hear about Merv Karmaz tweeting about the white shirts. Well, that's marvellous.
Yeah, halfway through a broadcast tonight, Becky, for NBC Sports of all the Premier League coverage. If Merv Karmaz gets involved, it might put her off. I'm a bit worried. It might be a simple go, Becky, or I don't know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We've been keeping you in touch with the tale of Rob Lewis, also known as DJ Randy Caddick, who went to Sri Lanka to watch England play last year. But of course, the virus meant they couldn't go, but he just decided to stick around until they could actually turn up, which was about 10 months later. He has been watching the games from the fort in Galway, watched the test. And when Joe Root raised his bat with his double century, he saluted the England teammates and then turned. A very nice touch to Rob Lewis, the lone Barmy Army foot soldier up there on the fort, to thank him for his support. Then he, at the end of the test match, he gave him a call. And we'll give you a little flavour of that now, courtesy of England cricket.
Nice to see you finally up on the fort. Well, that's why we've come over. Just want on behalf of all of the lads. We really appreciate your support. Oh, good, mate. I'm glad you've enjoyed it. We've certainly enjoyed you being there supporting us, singing your heart out as well. So look forward to more of it on Friday. No, we heard it. We really appreciate it, mate. It's an amazing effort. So thank you very much.
Yeah, nice touch.
That's lovely. What a lovely touch.
Let's check in with Rob. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
You must have been chuffed with that, weren't you?
Oh, mate, yeah. On top of the world. It still hasn't really sunk in today's event, yeah.
And raising his bat to you as well, that was a pretty special moment for you.
It was, yeah. Just like realising that, I mean, I've been in crowds when they salute you and there's a lot of people there, but when it was just me, it was really quite touching. Yeah, a very special moment indeed.
Quite a lot of the Barmy Army England songs are sort of call and answer, aren't they? Which is difficult to do for one man. So how have you found your way around that?
Yeah, tell me about it. The Everywhere We Go one. I saw Everywhere We Go, and then the crown. And there's no one, so there's a little bit of a pause.
Yeah.
And then people. So, yeah. It's not easy. We do need to bring the fans back because we can hear my voice is a bit coarse.
Yes.
And I can't be doing the singing for everyone for much longer.
Yeah, it's amazing that they could hear you as well. And did you have any problem with the authorities? Because there was a thought before the game that they wouldn't allow anybody to go on the fort and watch the cricket.
I've had plenty of trouble, yeah. So on day one, I got up there nice and early. I spent 2 hours putting these three big banners up there, like 5 metres by 3 metres. So that was quite a task. I then belted out Jerusalem as loud as I could. But after that, it went a bit pear-shaped. Like, the police just kicked me off. They weren't happy at all. And then after another hour, they took my banners down, which I was pretty heartbroken about. I spent the next kind of 2 days walking around the ground, looking through fences, going to the police station, trying to get permission. I even dressed up as a construction worker. I put a hard hat and a high-vis on and snuck onto the floor, posing as a construction worker. Got caught by the police again. They said, why are you dressed like that, mate? And I went, I want to work, sorry, like, safety first. they started laughing. They said, oh, you really want to watch the cricket, don't you? And I was like, yep. So they let me watch the evening session of day one, which was nice of them. But then day two, they just weren't having it at all. I couldn't get up there sing Jerusalem. So it wasn't, they were like, don't come back. It was terrible. And then luckily, I got managed to get put on a media list through various contacts and phone calls. Hmm. So I managed to get up there for the end of day two, and yeah, since day three onwards, I've been perched on the fort, and the view's been like unbelievable.
You posted a video of yourself singing Jerusalem, and we're going to play a bit now. All I would say is just start in a slightly lower key, Rob. I mean, we'll play a bit now. I think you've just started in too slightly higher key. This is the bit towards the end.
It was quite windy as well, wasn't it?
I'm glad it cut off there.
Yeah, it just...
the passion's there. The passion's there. No regrets and all that.
Start. Be a bit baritone when you kick it off, and you'll be hitting those high notes at the end. No danger.
So what are you going to do about the second test? More of the same?
Absolutely. There's a rumour they're going to let media into the ground, and whether I'm still media, I don't know, but that would be good if I could actually get inside somewhere. If not, I'll be happy to be on the fort again. It's a shame I missed quite a bit of play on the first 2 days, messing around trying to get in. Let's just hope for more of the same. It's quite good fun seeing on my own. But I do miss the fans. But I need help, as you can see.
It got a bit nervy, didn't it? Towards the end, close of play yesterday, a couple of wickets where you thought, no, surely not. Although, hadn't Sri Lanka a couple of games ago been out for 73 on this pitch? So you start to think, Oh dear. But, you know, fair play to Johnny Best, and especially Dan Lawrence, a young player. A lot of pressure on him to see that game out, and that was impressive, I thought.
Yeah, it was remarkable. Unfortunately, our openers aren't doing too great. Their confidence levels aren't great, so they disappeared. Joe Root's run out was very wasteful. But, Johnny Bairstow looked very focused. I didn't think he looked in trouble at all. And the same could be said for Dan Lawrence. He actually just looked like an experienced, composed player out there. So, yeah, a lot of kudos to him for on his debut.
And that was Root's fifth run out in the last 3 years. 15th time he's been involved in a run out in Test cricket. Oh. It was mad. I mean, yeah, Rob's right. It was a really wasteful thing to do. But anyway, he did well enough in the first innings, so that was nice to see.
Yeah. So you're confident for the second Test, Robbie? They are looking pretty decent, aren't they? But, I mean, you know, we've seen they've got a bit about them, Sri Lanka. They did well to get back into that game and post a lead, didn't they?
Yeah, it was nice to see some fight. I've been in contact with Mickey Arthur throughout the test as well, and he was obviously fuming after the first couple of days. I saw him on the balcony. He's a very emotive guy. So, it's nice to see them fight back and make it a bit of a contest. And you kind of set that up nicely for the next test because, there's a bit of a momentum swing and we crept over the line. But, could be a good contest for the next one.
Excellent. Well, look, let's hope you get in on Friday. If you can get in on the media list, there is something quite nice about doing it from the fort, isn't there? A bit of a distance. I mean, you're probably quite enjoying the fact that you're doing it in a sort of guerrilla type way.
I'm not enjoying getting sunburned. my back of my legs are pink. I forgot to suntan lotion on yesterday.
Oh dear.
But other than that, yeah, it's brand new. Yeah.
Brilliant. All right. Cheers, Rob. We'll catch up with you again, no doubt. Thanks very much.
Nice one, gents. See ya.
Rob Lewis there, England cricket fan, the sole Barmy Army member in Sri Lanka.
There's definitely a bit of weather there.
Yes, it's very a bit of weather in that pitch. There could be, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, a mixture of the virus and a few false starts and a few issues. There was an issue over a work permit meant that we hadn't really seen the best of Alexis McAllister in a Brighton shirt. But he had a very good game against Leeds the other day, and we're starting to see why they wanted to bring him in, backing up what Tim Vickery told us when that transfer was first talked about. He is an Argentinian international. He's won a couple of caps, which is a blow to the Tartan Army because his ancestors come from Fife. So he effectively could have chosen Scotland.
Yeah.
Joining us now, we thought he would ask a Tartan Army foot soldier whether Scotland should be doing more recruiting in South and Latin America. It is, of course, Ali Ross from The Sun, their fine TV columnist. Hi, Ali.
Hello, Paul. Lovely to see you.
I'm trying to think, has there been many over the years Scottish players who've not had Scottish accents? I mean, there's been a few. You still are a few. You've obviously got Lyndon Dykes at the moment, who's a proud Aussie.
His parents, though, are both Scots.
Yeah,
so it's not quite so tenuous with him. There's a kid called Jack Harper.
Yeah.
Who was born and raised in Spain, but both his parents are as well. And he's kind of been on the fringes of the under-21s and that sort of thing. I think he plays for Getafe.
Oh, right. Getafe. They're called in Scotland, Getafe.
Getafe. Yeah. At the moment, or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it crops up. There's a guy called Byron Hutchison who does a very fine Twitter account all about Scots abroad, and he's unearthed some real obscurities. There is a guy at Atletico Bilbao at the moment whose mum or dad is Scottish.
Right. And have they and the Scottish or the Scottish, have I ever moved on any of these recommendations?
I bet you a pound to a penny the fans are way ahead of the SFA on that one. We will know about him before they do, that's for sure.
Yeah. It is amazing, though, isn't it? Because so many Scots in... I was reading a bit about it today. So many... They ventured there to Latin America 1540, which might be pushing it a bit. 1825 was the bulk of the kind of Scottish emigration. And so, you know, there will be a lot of players in of Argentina and Brazil. I mean, pretty decent football countries you could mine for the Scottish team.
From an ethical point of view, I'm not so sure, Paul. But I got really excited about that. I ignored the picture of the Loch Ness monster and more messy than Nessie. And I was about 10 paragraphs into that before it sort of dropped the bombshell that he's already played twice for Argentina.
Yeah.
But Sebastian Coates, the Uruguayan, his dad is a Scot, I think, could...
Yeah. So they're trying to put it off. They call him Coates. It's a bit like Nicky Banger, Nicky Banger. You know,
I'd say more than that to put us off the scent.
There's
groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons.
you don't want to be getting a case of that.
There was the reverse one of Trevor Stephen, who was English, who played for Rangers and speaks with a Scottish accent.
He's from Berwick, if I'm not mistaken.
Right on the border.
I'm not generally in favour. I think the grandparent rule should be abolished and. All residency stuff should be got rid of as well.
It should just be about...
I look at the rugby team now and I think, well, the results have improved. Is that really Scotland?
Yeah.
And I think the last Rugby World Cup, only Argentina had a homegrown team. Everyone else had plundered.
Yeah.
New Zealand or the South Sea Islands.
Does it mean more, you think, when they feel homegrown? I mean, obviously you've taken players who've got Scottish ancestry but sound English. There's been quite a few of those, hasn't there?
Matt Ritchie recently.
Yeah.
I think if someone like Matt Ritchie retires from international football, everyone immediately says, oh, well, it didn't mean that much to him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is the only truthful answer to that. I'm just dead against... the grandparent rule. Because Scotland have suffered the reverse as well. Two very high-profile players have decided they're Irish. They're not.
And we wouldn't have a cricket team if we had.
No, let's not dwell too long on that, of course,
I mean, looking at Scotland, though, going forward and in the European Championship, they've got some very good players. Yeah. I mean,
we were running through some names earlier
McGinn,
on, weren't we? Good side.
McTominay again.
Two world-class left-backs, which is a bit odd.
It is. It's weird. The last time we played you, every member of that defence was left-footed.
Yeah.
Martin Tyler suddenly had to point. There's something weird going on here. And, of course, Andy Billy Gilmore, who I'm still
very good player.
Very excited about. Yeah.
He should be playing. I mean, I think he's much better than Jorginho. He's got so much more energy and,
that's good to hear.
You know, passes the ball forward, you know. But there you go.
So we have got a couple of gaps. Central defenders were short and a really regular goal-scoring centre-forward. Although, high hopes of Lyndon Dykes.
He's good. I think Lyndon Dykes is
he
decent.
He needs someone to play off.
Yeah, he
played well in that big game, the playoff game.
Charlie Austin seems to have helped him out at QPR from... what Graham Ray tells me.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Big QPR fan.
Yeah, that's right, yes. The other thing was you had those players that became more Scottish as they played for Scotland, like Stuart McCall. I mean, when Stuart McCall, whenever he was playing like for Bradford, he sounded like he was from Yorkshire. But whenever he played for Scotland, he came much more Scottish.
That's where my rule falls. I think someone like Wayne Rooney, he should just play for Ireland. He looks thoroughly Irish.
So you base it all, if you're in charge of FIFA, you're Infantino.
What you look like.
He looks a bit Welsh.
I'm always getting mistaken for a German, so I'd quite happily fly.
That's a bit of glory hunting.
Yeah.
Although I think, say again, looking at the Scotland, that game against England is going to be a cracker. I mean, if you've got a good side and you add into that that bit of needle, it should be a cracker.
Oh, it should be a hell of an occasion. Let's just hope we're all there to enjoy it.
If it's going to happen without fans, we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet, Ali. Have you got tickets for games yet for Euros games?
I've got one for the Croatia game, and I think I've got a promise of one for the Czech game.
Okay. Well, I don't want to worry you, but Euro 2020 ticket holders will not be entitled to receive a refund if games are changed to new venues for reason of force majeure. A clause in the contract which frees one side from liability when an unforeseen act of God happens means that, so if they decide to, you know, for whatever they might switch it somewhere else. Hey, look, and you can't get your money back.
I paid £400 once to see us lose 6-0 to Holland, so nothing will be as bad as that.
That is tremendous dedication. Yeah,
well done.
So are you back the Collins back tomorrow, Ali, is
it? Tomorrow, yeah. Started again last week, so it's a bit of a struggle at the moment.
What have you focused on mainly? What's
the masked singer and
the Masked Singer, yeah, Glenn Hoddle.
Glenn Hoddle. I didn't hear it. See it, clock.
He was getting a lot out of that show, wasn't he? I'm back.
Not a bad voice, though. I mean, Crooksy told me years ago that he had a very good voice. He used to sing in the shower at Tottenham.
Thoroughly enjoyed his stint in the Grandfather Clock.
Yeah, he did.
That show more than I should.
Reg, you're a fan, yeah?
I can't help it, yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't like Pooch Perfect, which I
did not, Andy. You like that?
You hated it.
I don't like people doing that to dogs. I mean, that's not what it's about, really.
You've changed, Andy.
You should have seen what this bloke did to a poodle. That was ridiculous. Yeah, it made him look absolutely stupid.
Grooming it, yeah? Sort of give it pink hair and everything? He don't want to be.
They have to make it look like a teddy bear or something. They're given a description.
Yeah. Don't do that to the dogs. The indignity. If only they could speak. No, what are you doing? They love it. Like Dr. Doolittle. Okay, Ali, well, we'll leave you in the tarn. And what about all those Scots who went to Argentina 78 and married Argentinian women, never came back, said they just popped out for a pint and then they never came? They'll have offspring now. Yeah. Brilliant footballing offspring.
We need to see some return from those guys.
Yeah, we do. They need to pay. Come on,
Maradona.
What a player he was.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy, we spoke to Ali Ross earlier on. We were chatting about Alexis McAllister and other players of Scottish ancestry that they could go and pick up from Latin America and elsewhere. And he was telling us about this guy, Byron Hutchinson, who keeps close tabs on players that could qualify for Scotland. And he was telling us one about who plays at Athletic Bilbao, of course, Super Cup winners after the weekend. And their player is Spanish-born with a Scottish mother. He trained with the senior team for the first time recently. And his name is Ewan Urain Roy Aird. So
Roy Ayres?
Not Roy Ayres, not the famous Vibes player. He is Ewan Aird. Now, what about that?
All right. There you go. He could be a candidate. And I don't know about you, but I think Mikel Antonio is one of West Ham's finest players, isn't he? Yeah. He really does make a difference. When he doesn't play, we've said this before, they do struggle a bit. But this letter was very strange. This text written to the Daily Star from somebody calling himself Hammer. He said, happy to watch from home rather than swear at Mikel Antonio at the ground, as long as he keeps doing the business. I think, what? Some of these fans, they don't really know what they're looking at, do they? It's quite incredible, really.
That does seem very strange.
Yes, and this woman wrote to the Sun today, Kath Cook. She said, I love Strictly, but I won't be watching if John Bercow is a contestant. You think, no, you will. If you love it, you'll watch it. You just won't enjoy that particular section. You're not going to not watch the whole programme, are you? Don't be a ridiculous woman. And
what are you talking about?
I know. And this one from Paul B writes to the Star. He says, why are tennis players allowed to travel when millions of people who have loved ones abroad can't travel? Disgrace, he says. Well, because they're elite sportsmen and that's allowed.
And women.
Sports. Well, it's
got a real downer on women today, Andy.
No, I've never got a downer on women.
Now, Stuart Weir's been in touch. We're going to have a chat with Mark Housey shortly. And he's told us about this incident in the world of Scotland. Scottish Rugby. He said, Glasgow, this was the Rob Robinson, he's passing on this report. Full-time, Glasgow 23, Edinburgh 22. Bizarre incident award. Nick Groom kicks the ball out, thinking the noise he heard was the half-time whistle. It's actually a train hooting its horn. Glasgow win line-out, get a penalty, put over the penalty with the last kick of the half to go in 1 point down. So it was a very distant train horn that he thought was the whistle.
Wow, that's, you know, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? But I suppose that's the what can you do?
Just misheard it. What are you going to do? Thank you, Stuart, for alerting us to that.
Very odd. It's interesting that Phil Neville's gone now, and I think they're looking for somebody to take over. But they missed a trick, the FA. I was watching this coaches documentary on coaches on Netflix.
Yeah,
I think it's called The Playbook or something like that. And they did. They featured Jill Ellis, the American coach.
Yeah,
and she really, really wanted the England job when she left America, but they couldn't. The FA couldn't come up with the money to pay the money that she wanted.
Yeah.
It was a shame because she would have been a great choice, I think.
Well, they got Serena Riegman, haven't they? She's she was the Dutch coach. She's coming in. She's got the job. She's been confirmed.
She's got the job. Oh, but, yeah. You know, I think Jill Ellis would have been a better bet, but there we go.
I'm sure that's making Serena feel special today.
Well, that's
right. It's a game of opinions, Andy.
It's a game of opinions,
very much so. Anything else?
And Sage, the government... scientific advisors to the government, obviously, are still saying that we haven't got a functioning test, trace and isolate system that actually works. And I was thinking, if Dido Harding, who's in charge of it, was a football manager, she definitely would have been fired by now.
But then, straight down the line, political satire.
Anyway,
I think Andy's off to woman's hour soon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We were trying to come up with some TV formats for another striker, this one at Lake Norian, Andy, and you've come up with a few good ones this afternoon. The player we're talking about is Lee Angle, and you've given us Angle in Times. Lee joins the Times and documents his new life as a journalist, says Ed. That's not too convoluted.
Very much so.
This is from Paul, the painter in Letchworth. This one is called Right Angle, where Lee sits in for Judge Rinder and deals out his own VAR-based judgment on domestic disputes. Okay, fair enough.
What's VAR?
I've got no idea.
trying to bring it back to sport there.
Angle or Merkel, which is obviously around the German Chancellor from Liam. And a show where Lee and his teammates have their knees and elbows tapped with a small hammer in reflex angle, says Rev in red. And all I would say is, Rev, would you watch a TV show in which a number of Orient players have their knees and elbows hit with a hammer? I mean, really, there'd have to be absolutely nothing on.
Bring your mate and bring your hammer.
Yeah, it wouldn't be much good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. Don't ask me.
Here we are. Don't ask me. It's just normally Andy answering questions. But Max is doing it a couple of days a week at the moment. He'll be back with me tomorrow and Thursday. So we're going to attempt to have a sort of head-to-head in which the person who wasn't in that day gets the first dibs at the question. Hello, Max.
How are you?
Not bad. It's a quite hellish line, but we will continue. Whatever happened to the old technology? But we'll keep working as we are.
I'm on the phone as well as on the computer.
That's very clever.
I'm talking into the phone and I'm talking into the machine.
Brilliant. Between us, we'll get there. Okay. Right. You're going to get you weren't here Friday, so you're going to get the first dib at this question. We spoke to the comedian and former comedian and author Queeve McDonald. He was the stadium announcer for over a decade at which rugby club in this country? It's rugby club in England, not in Ireland.
I'm going to go Saracens.
You've gone Saracens. Andy, what you gone with?
London Irish.
Oh, Andy Jacobs gets that one right. Well, you'd expect Andy, him to. He was well here, but you should never take that as read.
That's ridiculous.
Andy. Andy, on Thursday, when Max was here, we spoke to the comedian Arsenal fan Dane Baptiste about his new TV show on the BBC. Dane. What's it called?
Oh, God.
It's just one word. It's a play on his name.
It's like, isn't it something? It's not Bane-tastic or Bane... Baptiste, it's something like that.
Bane Baptiste.
I did hear the interview, to be honest. I was listening to the show. So I was.
Max, what do you think it was?
It's It's Andy has helped me there, but it's Bamus.
Bamus. Oh, you were Bamus. So close. One all. Okay, back to Andy, who was here on Wednesday. We spoke to the tallest outfield player in the English game. First name, Kyle. Second name, it's something you really shouldn't be doing at the moment in the world of... Oh, blimey.
Kyle Hudlin.
You never even got a chance there, Max. He was...
Sorry, wasn't that my question? I thought that was my question.
Oh, sorry, it was your... Oh, yeah, Andy, that's true, yeah.
We need Jeff Peters.
Andy's cheating. We don't need Jeff Peters. We need you to just stop shouting out answers. What was the answer then, Max? Kyle, what?
You know, I wouldn't have got it, but I did listen to it. I thought he sounded very level-headed, and then he said he wanted to play, win the World Cup. I said, well, fair play. But he played for Solihull, didn't he?
Do yeah, that's right, yeah. Kyle Hudlin you're going with, yes?
Exactly, yes.
Congratulations, 2-1.
Fair enough. You would have got that.
Andy, on Tuesday, you're going to have a go at this one. Who's having a go? I'm getting confused.
Yeah, it's me.
I was there.
It's me
Andy
first. Then
we spoke to a bloke about light-up shoelaces that might be used in the world of sport. They light up at night and stop you getting run over, which is great. But the bloke who's developed them was Dr. Charles, and his surname was quite apt, considering what he was talking about. Laces in trainers. What was his name? Dr. Charles
Island.
Dr. Charles Island.
Island.
Oh, Island. Doc, that's not a surname, Islet, is it?
You want Mark Islet, the bowler?
I've got Mark Islet spelled. That's fair enough. Yeah. Mark Islet. Come on, let's have your training shoe based cricketers. 08717. What do you think it was, Max?
I know what you mean. It's like Mr. Charles...
We're running out of time. Charles Footer. Finally, on Monday, we spoke to Nick Cerulla. Which team does he play for?
Crawley,
yeah, he got that one. I think that was a draw. That. Wasn't it a draw?
Oh, well, I knew
that.
An honourable
draw.
Max, I didn't really keep up with the rules then. I was in charge of it. Andy, we'll see you Wednesday. And Max, see you tomorrow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Myself and Max, actually, will be back tomorrow, as you heard. So Andy will be back on Wednesday. So if you can listen in tomorrow, we'd appreciate it, but thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.